We're seeing Putin, he's actually kissing the Quran. So don't the Serbian leaders from here like...
Gore nad nama je srpsko nebo. Gore sjedi Srbin Bog.
My father used to say, son, when you die, there's nothing. You know, they just put you 2 meters down in the ground, the worms eat you, and that's it. Because my father was a Serbian Orthodox religion. I was looking a little bit that the Trinity was something that I couldn't comprehend.
He's literally kissing the Quran. What does that symbolize? This is the Dean Show. You're a great example. We were just talking and you were explaining your name. You did right away a name change. So people from these parts, if I say Petrag, they would identify you as what nationality?
Probably Serbs.
That's without a doubt.
Without a doubt, yeah. They 100% say this guy's not a Muslim.
I was going on the streets of Sarajevo years back, and I had my guest, Marco, and we were saying, Marco, guess what religion he is? And everybody was guessing Croatian.
Marco.
Croatian.
Marco. Marco.
Marco.
Marco.
Catholic.
So yeah. We did the same thing here. We're in Mostar now. You think people would go ahead and identify you with Serb?
For sure, Serbian for sure. If you mention that name, for sure. Now the name that is changed, they definitely say it's a Muslim.
Let's get right into that, because why did you change your name? Because you technically, you don't have to change your name, become a Muslim.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't know it at the time. So when I was doing my you know, personal research and things, I was in my head thinking, okay, so if I just change my name, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm definitely gonna become the Muslim, because, like you mentioned, when you identify somebody through the name, right? I was like, yeah, when I have the Muslim name, people will, you know, definitely know I'm Muslim now.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought. That was my thoughts at the time.
Okay, obviously, you know, people identify like the beard, the name, all these things are part of Islam, but they're not Islam, meaning that there's something even more important when you get to that.
Exactly.
We don't exclude any of these things like the hijab, beard, all these things. Okay. But now, what led you to the point that now you were like, okay, I want to be a Muslim. I want to worship the creator, not the creation. That tawhid, that pure monotheism. That's the most important crust of the matter. But even before you get to that, purpose of life, why you've been created, why you're here, you started, something clicked. Why did it click?
Yeah, definitely I was thinking a lot about what happens when you die. I was 100% sure it can be it. Even though, like I mentioned, I came from atheist background. My mother is a Muslim, but she never prayed or do anything like that. They're communists here, and you know, like whoever knows a little bit about ex-Yugoslavia, they know it's communist country, Tito and stuff. So everybody loved Tito, right? How hard? I mean, I later on found out things how hard it was for Muslims when they were living in the time of Tito, right? So yeah, I was definitely it can be. My father used to say, son, when you die, there's nothing. You know, they just put you 2 meters down in the ground, the worms eat you, and that's it. There's nothing after that. And as I grow up, I definitely started to believe this can't be life. It doesn't make any sense to me.
So that's another example, because your father was Orthodox,
yes.
Serbian, but he was saying when you go in the ground, you're going to just be worm food.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually believe...
Nothing, yeah. Him and mother both were just... believe in nothing, you know.
And your mother was technically Muslim.
Yes.
But that's another example.
She's born and raised in Muslim family. When I say Muslim, you know, they were not practicing the Islam, right?
Yeah, so that's a really important point. You can be born Serb or Orthodox or Muslim, but at the end of the day, you end up an atheist. No practice behind it.
Yeah.
But you're now asking yourself, what's the purpose of life? You're thinking about death, the reality of death. What happens from there?
Yeah, I was so scared thinking about that for some reason, that it was, you know, like fear would go all over my body. I was so afraid thinking about it. So I started to research a little bit about religions, what they say about afterlife. Is there life after this world? Because I, somewhere deep in myself, I knew, you know, like this can't be it. It doesn't make sense that you just live and die and that's it. What with somebody who dies if he's a little baby or 10 years old, or it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought at the time, and little by little I started to I mean I was ready with some friends who are Muslims. Their parents are not praying all the time, but we gather for the Eid most of the time as a kids.
Yes.
And I would go to mosque as a kid to pray Eid, just because all the kids were doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I was already praying. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. I was just, you know, going to ruku and to sajda, just looking somebody next to me. And the older people would be like, oh, he was in the mosque, you know, and they were happy for me and stuff like that. Me searching through all the books, the internet and stuff, I found a couple of videos that they say what happens when you die as a Muslim. For me, it was already enough. I was, you know, gaining some hope now that it's going to the way I thought it is.
I want to show you a clip here, and I believe this is from an Orthodox Serb. So for those people, because that was going to be my next question, what and why didn't you go towards the Orthodox? Because your father, even though he was an Orthodox Serbian, why didn't you go towards that belief, and did you investigate it? So I'm going to show you this video and get your reaction to it, and then we're going to help people understand what actually are the teachings also.
Gore nad nama je srpsko nebo. Gore sjedi Srbin Bog. Gore su oko njega Srbi anđeli. Čuvaju Srbina Boga svog. Jeste gore srpsko nebo. Jeste Srbin Bog. Jesu Srbi anđeli koji nas čuvaju i služe Srbinu Bogu.
Is he saying that Jesus, peace be upon him, is Serbian and God is Serbian?
Yes, something like that, yes. Because that's they believe, right?
Is that actually what they believe?
Yes, yes. Same like Christians, they believe that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
Right.
But here we have two things, that he's God and he has a nationality. Is that correct?
Yes. I didn't even know that when I was doing my research, that was the things that were complicated to me.
This is one of the things that I just actually found out while I was here. I mean, obviously we know that people of this faith, many, they believe, and this is not to disparage on anybody's religion or anything, we're just giving a contrast here and helping people understand things better, because a lot of times the majority of people, they reject this because it's a part, like you did, it's not a part of the innate disposition to worship a human being or anything in creation. It's not part of the fitra. But here, now they're saying God has a nationality, that he's actually of Serbian origin.
Yes, it's you know, it's how they do here, like this specific Balkan is literally a specific place, so everybody is like that. Researching and listening this stuff before I accepted Islam is my consciousness just not really reject this, because I just can't comprehend how, for example, when I was looking into Christianity, how God can be Trinity.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And like you said, this is not to insult anybody or just,
no, yes.
It's just my personal point of view. At that time, I was like confused. And more you ask on any forums or you go to ask somebody who's knows something about Christianity, he's going to say, you're asking too much questions.
Yeah.
I realize they don't have the answer.
Yeah, I even go above and beyond and say, this is out of our love for Christians, Croatians, humanity out there, that we want them to come to the same
truth.
Exactly. Like you
exactly.
Came to.
It's literally...
This is not out of any hate or malice.
Definitely not. It's just like if you be a normal person, not limited, and open your heart really to the truth. And when you're alone or whenever you feel like it, if you say, God, please give me the guidance, I'm 100% convinced you'll end up like me.
And no Trinity, God is one, unique, and no nationality.
Yes.
He's not Croatian, Serbian, Bosnian, Allah, the Creator.
He's free from those things that people invented, for sure, yes. He's the greatest. That's something when I self-criticism, I would say, when I see that I'm doing mistakes and stuff, I just realize how Allah great is.
And that's what I like to do, is show for the Serbian audience, to the Croatian, that Islam transcends nationalism. That
exactly,
you could be a Serb and you become a Muslim, you don't have to change...
You don't have to change your name, your last name, you don't have to change
your
anything.
Nationality.
Exactly.
Stay Serb.
Exactly.
But submit to God, not a Trinity or a God with a nationality.
Exactly. Or somebody who's doing it for the sake of the money or to control people and this and that. So just be God's slave, that's it.
That's beautiful, yeah. So what was the breaking point finally that had you go ahead and so you start asking what's the purpose of life, death is on your mind, what happens when you die, what happens next, that you finally ended up realizing, look, Islam is the truth. Did you go and so you went back and investigated Orthodox, Trinity, that didn't fit, that didn't make sense?
Yes, I investigated almost everything. Hinduism, like every single religion I could think of and find, I was reading, it doesn't make sense, okay, this is not it.
You really did your homework?
Yeah, like, this is not it.
Yeah.
Like I would take something, read just a couple words, and I was, this is not it.
Mm-hmm.
Then this and that, and I was, like I say, doing first because my father was a Serbian Orthodox religion. I was looking a little bit that they have, you know, some close stuff with Christians. Just some different dates, for example, of the Christmas and this and that, little bit different beliefs. But the Trinity was something that I couldn't comprehend. I was asking myself if God wanted us to have a religion and it's from Him, He will explain it to smallest pieces so you understand it. If He is inviting you, you need to understand it.
Yes.
Because you cannot just go blindly into something, right? You need to understand what you're doing. And I couldn't understand, whatever I do, I just can't understand Trinity. It doesn't make sense. And why would God die for me and you for my sins and yours? It's not somebody else's fault if I do a sin. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So it didn't make sense. And whenever I ask somebody or post anything on any forum or internet, I was just confused, so confused.
You think there's a lot of Serbs and Croatians, others out there, people who are not Muslim yet, that are also going through the same struggles? And then they get shut down when they go ask their hires?
Maybe. I think the problems is with the families.
Hmm.
The families here are very strict. So it's not a strange case if you say, oh, I'm reading, or if you say this to your parents, like Croatian or Serb, that's, I'm convinced of, like, that you're going into the Islam and stuff because, you know, the war in Bosnia that happened with all the religions, with all the people. The parents will say to that guy, just go out from the house.
Or they'll kick him out.
Go out. We don't want to hear about you. You want to be a Muslim? Go away.
What do you think, so then what led you? You started to read the Quran?
Yes. I was at the moment living okay life, I would say. People in Bosnia here, unfortunately, didn't educate themselves high enough to understand Islam, right? And I was one of them, so I would, even though I would believe in God, I would be working just to go out on the weekends and drink and stuff, you know, and smoke weed with the friends and just do the things like everybody else is doing, like, let's say. So if you don't do that, you're not accepted in society today, you know what I'm saying? So I was thinking often about those things that I'm doing, that it's not right, it doesn't make sense, right? It's not natural for you to work all the day, all for the whole week, and spend money on alcohol or the weed or whatever you want to do, right? It just doesn't make sense. So I started to feel sorry first. I'm doing that, and I was like, yeah, Islam forbids the gambling, drugs, alcohol. I just need to, you know, do my research about that more to see how can I stop all that. And doing that research, I came up to videos of Dr. Zakir Naik, and his videos convinced me 100%. Like, I had 99.9% consciousness that there's a God.
Yes.
But I didn't understand him. For example, why am I without some things like good job, or I'm missing some money to take care of my family and this and that, and some guy that I know is a criminal, he has the house, the car and everything. I just couldn't understand.
Yes.
So when I started to read translation of the Quran, correct me if I'm wrong, there's ayah that says, don't worry about them, look about yourself.
Yes.
It's curse of theirs.
Yeah.
They're blind. They just, shaitan made them that they think that is beautiful thing what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is literally creator saying to me, you don't need to worry about them. It's something totally different. And more I was reading, like, more answers I got on almost everything.
The Quran is giving you those answers?
Everything. And I was like, I just couldn't believe.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how is this possible.
You think more people should read the Quran?
Definitely. At least, like I say, if you really want to find the guidance, just read the translation.
Beautiful advice. I was speaking to one Serb who also accepted Islam. And for our Serbian neighbors, friends, and Croatians, Islam just means to submit your will to the will of God. And he was in Belgrade, and he was giving out Qurans in Cyrillica, in the language.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
And he was saying this. He was in Belgrade, and he was saying that people were receptive. They were very open to taking the Quran from him, and it seemed like they were pleased to accept it.
Yes.
Yeah, they were interested.
Yes, I think internet can be bad, but there's also good thing for Dawah, of course, I say. People see some things themselves now.
Yeah.
It's not that media can do their thing, not anymore.
Yeah.
Because you for now, for example, you have people from Gaza right now who are sending you videos of the truth.
Yes.
Nobody can say on the news now, oh, there's a Muslim that doing wars. And no, it's and all everywhere in the world.
So you went from family of who turned atheism. You dabbled in atheism for some time, searching the purpose of life. You read the Quran, you investigate all the different religions. You realize this is the truth. What do you think if someone who got one of these Qurans, if he served, for example, if one of their parents found this in their Quran, would you think they would kiss it as a holy book or throw it out? What would they do? And I'll tell you why I'm asking, if they would kiss it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think if they're not Muslims, they definitely start asking questions.
Would they throw
like
it out?
You have this? What is the purpose of this? Are you reading it? This and that. Those that are a little bit, I say, heads with their heads more into the world, they'll probably throw it out.
The reason I ask you that, I want to ask you if you saw this video, and this is not an endorsement of any person, party, or anyone, but it's just a very interesting video because I believe that the Serbs from here, they look up to certain Orthodox Christians from this area, from this person in this video. We're seeing Putin, he's actually kissing the Quran. So don't the Serbian leaders from here, like Dodik and others, don't they respect him highly? He's almost like their leader in a way, sense. Is it? Fill us
it
in.
Is. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Now this probably doesn't make sense to them, I guess. You know.
Yeah. He's kissing the Quran. They should follow now and kiss the Quran. No. He's paying some respect.
Yes. Yes. If they would treat it like that, yeah. I don't think they will kiss it.
No,
I don't think they will accept it, even read it.
I mean, do you think they'll have a different perception now that, hold on, okay, this is, he's literally kissing the Quran. What does that symbolize? He's showing an ultimate respect to the Quran.
Yes, like you mentioned, they should respect it too, but they're not.
But this is their Putin.
Yes, yes. I guess they don't follow the Putin. It's just fake news.
Fake news, huh? Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. So at least they should, like, if they don't want to kiss it, would you recommend at least open it up? Please open it up and read. Read the first page.
Yeah, see it for yourself.
Yeah.
I was amazed when you mentioned the first page when it says, this is the book. There's no doubt
about it. No doubt about it. What you just said, this is right there in the first page of the Quran.
I was like, okay, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
And more I went into it, it was, I pretty much got everything I asked myself, I got answer for it. And I was like, yeah, I just need to become a Muslim. But like I mentioned, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know how you actually became Muslim. I thought before that if you just change your name, that's it.
Yes.
You become Muslim automatically.
Tell us a little bit about the war. You were here as a 7-year-old when the war started, and you talked about being separated from your father. Talk about the war a little bit and how that was at that time.
So when it started, we were all together. It was when it started, 1991, I believe. So I wasn't even finishing the first, is it called first grade? I don't know how you guys say that in the States. So we were on vacations and the war started. We were together and our house here was destroyed, but we had another apartment that my father got, and it's on controlled, the area was controlled after it started war with Croatians. That was the area that controlled by them, right? So since our house was destroyed, we went there and the people were still going on the lines as a soldiers. It was not shooting, it was calm a couple years later, but people were still going over there. And when it started with the Croatians, my father and my sister were in the Bosnian army here. So when it started, we were separated automatically. They put the lines and barricades and we didn't know anything what's going on with them, and we had the luck. They were taking all the people who are not Croatians from their homes, putting them in the trucks, put them in prisons. And when they came to my house, my brother was already without the leg. He lost the leg in the war before. And these 5 or 6 soldiers came into our house and said to my mother, we know that your husband and your daughter and your son, they were all in the army that we fight against. Where are they? And they started asking questions like that. And my mother said, I don't know, we don't know anything about them. And in that moment, my brother is waking up and he's coming out of the room. And the guy who was asking the questions was actually his friend. They went to school together.
Wow.
And he said, "Is that you, my friend?" And they recognize each other. And we had that luck that he said, "Nobody will touch you. I'll make sure that you're protected." And they didn't throw us out. Later on, he gave us the paper that, like, this family is under my protection. Nobody can touch them. So when I think now about it, it was nothing but mercy of Allah that saved us over there, because everybody who was Muslim and in the opposite army were cleared off. It was literally, I was walking as a kid alone over there. There was empty streets, empty apartments, mm-hmm. everything stolen, so much clothes on the streets. You know, the army would just stay with a big truck. They take TVs, videos, the old VHS, if you remember, the fridges, electronics usually. Mm-hmm. They rob everything and they just left. So we were basically there and just creations, nobody else.
For those who really haven't heard much about, don't know much about what happened here, why? Why was there a war here?
I think because people, for some reason, didn't like to live with each other. Even though you're Muslim, Serb, Croatian, doesn't matter. Some crazy heads thought, you know, we're going to divide this country and take for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it didn't work.
Tell us, before we conclude, what other advice would you give for somebody who's a Serb, who's Croatian, who's whatever ethnicity is out there, but they're also having a problem? They're trying to fill this void in their heart. They partied, they've done drugs, they've had enough of the alcohol, they've been to all the nightclubs out there or anything
else. They
have
a problem how to do it, yeah.
And anything else, you know, that you can imagine, they've experienced everything, but they still have that void. You were there, you had a void, the void is filled?
For sure.
No doubt about it?
No doubt about it.
What advice would you give for them?
Definitely just to start reading translation of the Quran. I'm 100% convinced that you'll get your answers over there and start from there. But when you read it with the open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to the media and people say the Islam is terrorism, the Muslims always make problems, this and that. That's just propaganda that is, you know, out there to show people the opposite of Islam. Islam mm-hmm. is not like that. Like you mentioned, Daddy, in Islam there is no race. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, if you're yellow. It's just about worshipping one creator who created everything. And it's for your own sake. Creator doesn't need you, right? You need him. And if you just open your mind like that and start searching and looking to fill that void in your heart with love and passion, and to realize that really there is somebody who created everything, and there is a life. This life is just a test. There is a life after this. You can't die anymore after that. So you just need to think about it. Do you really want, because of worldly things like alcohol and drugs and clubbing and stuff, to be in eternal fire forever? When you have a choice to just, you know, take a bath, take the Quran translation of it and just read it with open mind. Don't think about what people say about Muslims. Just read it yourself and start from there.
How about, what do you say to Muslims who are, I've had experience, someone would say, look, they'll have a picture of their great-grandfather, Haji, on the wall, and they have the Quran up there, and they're like, you know, this is my great-grandfather. But himself, he's not praying, he's not implementing Islam.
Yes, but he would die. The one of the ulema said here how education is so important, that there was a scene in war when the Muslim guy wanted to protect the mosque from the people who wanted to destroy it. He went on the minaret all the way up with his kid, and he's swearing Allah to them not to touch the mosque.
Wow.
But he's protecting it with his life and his kid's life. He is prepared to die.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't know what to do. So I would always say, thankfully now we have so much materials over the internet. There's people who are organizing for everything for us, that you can just go and listen and learn. Just try to learn and educate yourself more about it, because it doesn't make sense that you know, that you call yourself Muslim and you don't pray.
Another thing we can take from this example, I mean, when you see the Putin kissing the Quran, putting it up, you have some Muslims also, they'll kiss the Quran, put it up, but never read it. Read the book also. Read exactly. it. If you're a Muslim, it's yes. there for you. It's for everybody. Yes. Read the book.
Yes.
And implement the book. Yes. Live the book.
Yes. My wife sent me one interesting video today when they're explaining, like, when you read Quran, just close your eyes and just hold a finger on Quran and imagine your head. This that I have finger right now is something that God said. This is words from Allah. So when you start reading it, try to understand what you're reading.
Yes.
Not to be like, oh, I'm just going to read one page because, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
You just need to start thinking about it. Yeah. And definitely my advice to people who want to do research, start thinking with your own head.
A lot of lessons here, from atheism to seeking the purpose of life, from transcending nationalism to coming to the submission of the Creator, not the creation, in Islam. You're a shining example of that. Thank you very much for being with us here on the Deen Show.
Thank you so much, Ilya. I appreciate you.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
So what we're doing now is we've got some volunteers helping us to get these pews out.
With the hard work of Eddie, this is more than just a masjid that's being built. This is more than just another da'wah center.
Yeah, so we transforming this from people worshiping the creation to worshiping the Creator.
Allah bless your efforts, Eddie.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.